Let's all bow in prayer again. Let's seek the Lord's face as we come to consider his precious word. Let us all pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank thee again for this privilege that you've given to us to preach the word of God. And we just pray, Lord, that you would help us to rightly divide thy truth. Fill us with thy gracious Holy Spirit. And help us, Lord, only to say those things that will be pleasing to thee. We pray, Lord, that you'll bless every heart tonight. And, O God, that there might be a word in season for each and every one of us. We pray especially for those here tonight, Lord, who are still not saved. We ask the Lord that you would speak to them and save them and draw them to Christ. For it's in Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen. Turn again, please, to Acts chapter 19, that portion of Scripture which we read earlier. This morning in our studies in the book of Acts, we began to consider Paul's third missionary journey. And as an introductory message, we noted three things about the great apostle Paul as he began this third missionary journey. We noted that Paul's zeal for God's work was unabated. We noted that Paul's purpose in God's work was still the same. And we noted that Paul's desire to do God's will had not changed. Well, tonight, as we take up our studies again on this third missionary venture of the great apostle Paul, we have him entering into the city of Ephesus here at the beginning of Acts chapter 19. Paul, of course, had been in Ephesus before on his second missionary journey. But on that occasion, he was only there for a very short time. However, now as he enters Ephesus for the second time, his stay is going to be much longer, and this time he's going to witness God's blessing in this ungodly city. Ephesus was an ungodly city. It was the chief city of the Roman province of Asia, and it was a wicked and ungodly place. It was given over to idolatry and to the worship of Diana, the goddess Diana. And there were many within the city who opposed Paul and the preaching of the gospel. Nevertheless, the Lord blessed Paul in Ephesus, and a church was going to be established for the glory of God as he preached the gospel. Precious souls were going to be saved, going to be redeemed by the precious blood of the Lamb. However, as soon as Paul entered into Ephesus on this occasion, he came into contact with certain disciples. That's what we read here at the beginning of this chapter. They were disciples of John the Baptist. John the Baptist, of course, was the forerunner of the Lord Jesus Christ. John had pointed men to the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. But he had been martyred for his faithfulness to God's word. And tonight I want us very simply to consider these certain disciples that Paul met when he entered into the city of Ephesus. And I want us to study carefully what is said about them here in this portion of Scripture. Now, there's a message here for both saint and sinner alike. There's a message here for us all. And I pray that God will again take his word and write it upon our hearts. First of all, I want you to notice very simply that these certain disciples, they were saved. They were saved. Now, I say that because I have read some commentaries, and the writers of these commentaries have said that when Paul met these disciples, they were not saved. But I don't believe that to be the case. Now, there were things that they did not understand, especially when it came to the doctrine of the Holy Ghost. But nevertheless, these disciples, I believe, were converted men. In Acts 19, verse 1, they are described as disciples. You can underline that word. But in verse 2, Paul asked them, and you can underline this, "Have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed?" Underline those last three words. Therefore, Paul accepted these disciples as believers. Paul says here, "Since ye believed." These men were believers. These men had a saving faith. I believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, for some reason or another, they had not heard of the coming of the Holy Ghost at Pentecost. In reply to Paul's question, look at the question, have ye received the Holy Ghost since ye believed? They said this, we have not so much as heard whether there be any Holy Ghost. Now, that phrase, that answer, literally means this. They had not heard whether the Holy Ghost had been given as yet. That's what it literally means. Therefore, they were not saying here that they did not know anything about the Holy Ghost, or that they had never heard of the Holy Ghost. Being disciples of John the Baptist, they would have known about the Holy Spirit because John spoke about the third person of the Holy Trinity. John 1 verse 33. John indeed was a man who knew the power of the Holy Ghost in his life. No, these disciples here, I believe, were simply saying in reply to Paul's question that they had not heard whether the Holy Ghost had been given as yet, given for power. These disciples had never received the power of the Holy Ghost for service. They had never been filled with the Holy Ghost for power for service. Therefore, after Paul took the time to explain to them the doctrine of the Holy Ghost more fully, and after he had revealed unto them that the Holy Ghost had come on the day of Pentecost, verse 6 says, underline these words, that when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them. In other words, they received the power of the Holy Ghost for service. Now, in a moment, I'm going to explain the difference between the indwelling of the Holy Spirit and the infilling of the Holy Spirit. We've already considered that subject in these studies, but we must, of course, make mention of it here again because of what is being said. But I want to stop there just for a moment before we go on, and I want to ask this question. I want to ask you a personal question tonight. If you're found in this meeting without the Lord Jesus Christ, are you truly saved by God's grace? Do you know that if you were to die right now, that you would go to heaven? Have you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Does God the Holy Spirit dwell within you? Have you been born again of the Spirit of God? And my friend, only you can answer that question. And of course, God can answer that question. But I pray that you will honestly answer that question tonight in your heart and in your soul. I'm not asking you, are you religious? I'm not asking you, do you come to church? I'm not asking you, do you seek to live a good, moral, upright life? I'm asking you tonight, are you truly saved by the grace of God? And are you going to heaven? Have you been born again of the Spirit of God? And if you were to die right now, would you be in God's heaven? Or would you be in God's hell? Because the truth of the matter is this, if you die without Jesus Christ as your Savior, you will be lost forever and forever and forever. Now, there may be things you don't fully understand, and we're going to say more about that just in a moment. There may be things about the Bible you can't fully grasp, you haven't learned yet. But my friend, you know this, that you're a sinner. Jesus died for sinners, and if you die as a sinner, you'll be lost in hell. But if you come and simply by faith accept Jesus as your Savior, he'll save you. And for starters, that's all you need to know. That's all you need to know. Oh, here were disciples, and there were things they didn't know. There were things that they had not learned as yet. But they had believed. They believed in Christ. And my friend, that's the first step that you need to take in the Christian life. You must take that step of faith and trust the Lord Jesus as your own and personal Savior. And you must believe that he is the Messiah, the Savior of the world. And you must accept him tonight Because the Bible says now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Are you saved? Now let's move on. The second thing I want to notice, and this is the main point, and my last point. The lessons that we can learn from this incident at the beginning of Acts chapter 19. What are the lessons that we can learn here from this incident concerning these certain disciples? Well, first of all, we learn this. We learn that new converts need time to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Scriptures. As we have said, there were things that these disciples here that we read about did not know. Things that they had still to learn. We have seen this before in the book of Acts, in the life of Apollos. If you were here when we preached about Apollos, although he knew much about the Scriptures, indeed the Bible says that he was mighty in the Scriptures, but he still needed to be taught in the way of the Lord more perfectly. Let's just remind ourselves of what was said about Apollos. Turn back to chapter 18, Acts chapter 18, and look at verse 24, and look what it says. And a certain Jew named Apollos, born at Alexandria, an eloquent man and mighty in the Scriptures, came to Ephesus. This man was instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in the Spirit, he spake and taught diligently the things of the Lord, knowing only the baptism of John. And he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, whom when Aquila and Priscilla had heard, they took him unto them and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. The way of God more perfectly. Tell me, child of God, when you were first saved, and we were considering the day of our conversion this morning, when you were first saved, did you know much about the doctrine of the Holy Ghost? When you were first converted, did you know much about the doctrines of grace? Could you have given a rundown on the deep doctrines of the Scripture? Of course you couldn't, and neither could I. Well, here we have disciples, and there were things that they did not know, and there were things that they still had to learn, especially about the coming of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. But that did not mean that they weren't saved. My friend, if you're not a Christian this evening, you're not going to know everything overnight about the Bible. You're not going to know everything overnight about what the Scriptures teach. But my advice to you this evening is to get saved tonight. At the moment, all you need to know, as I have said, is that you're a sinner on your way to hell and that Jesus died to save you, and that if you repent and believe on Him for salvation, you will be saved for all eternity. And after you get saved, after you take that step, then the Lord will teach you what you need to know from the Bible, how to live the Christian life. You see, once someone gets saved initially, they're like a wee baby. And indeed, the Bible describes the young convert as a babe in Christ. And of course, when a child is born, it can't walk. It can't talk. Everything has to be done for it. But it's still born. And it's still a member of the family that it's born into. And of course, as the child begins to grow, then you begin to teach it. And it learns to walk and it learns to talk. And then it becomes a boy or a girl, grows up into as a young person, and then into adulthood, and then it grows into old age. And you know, the Christian life is just like that. Maybe there's someone here tonight, and you think you have to know everything before you're a Christian. You have to know everything about the Bible before you get saved. You need to be able to read the Bible through from Genesis to Revelation, and you need to understand everything that the Bible teaches before you become a Christian. My friend, let me tell you, you'll never become a Christian if that is your opinion. The night I got saved, I couldn't have quoted two verses out of the Bible. Now, you've heard me say that before, but that's the truth. I couldn't have quoted you two verses. In fact, I couldn't have quoted you one verse out of the Bible. But that night when the Lord spoke to me and I realized that I needed to be saved, I recognized that very night that if I didn't get saved that night, then I probably would never get saved. And although there were many things I couldn't understand, many things that I still don't understand, because the truth is, men and women will not understand it all until we get home to heaven. And maybe even then, the Lord will not reveal it all to us. No, if you're in the meeting tonight and you're not saved, you're not a Christian, don't feel that you have to quote the Bible from A to Z before you get saved. Don't feel tonight that you have to know so many doctrines and so many truths before you become a Christian. The Bible says, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. New converts need time to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Scriptures. And you know, child of God, there's a truth there for you and me. When we hear of someone just getting saved, have a wee bit of patience with them. They're not going to know everything. They're not going to be as smart as you, you know, overnight. Or as smart as maybe you think you are. It takes time to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Apostle Paul had patience with these certain disciples. Oh, they had believed, and they had come to Christ, and they were saved. But they just couldn't fully grasp the teaching of the coming of the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. But they soon learned. My friend, if you get saved tonight, you'll soon learn. Because the Lord will teach you. The Holy Spirit will teach you. That's why I exhort you to seek the Lord this evening and find eternal redemption through Christ. Look at something else here. Secondly, we learn this. We learn the importance of being instructed in sound doctrine. You know, some Christians say that you don't need to study doctrine. But that's totally wrong. The Bible sets forth very clearly the importance of doctrine and studying doctrine. Turn over, keep your hand in Acts chapter 19. Turn over just for a moment to 2 Timothy chapter 4. And here we have Paul, and he's instructing young Timothy in the Word of God. And Timothy was the young minister in the church at Ephesus. And this is what Paul said to the young minister. He said this in verse 2 of 2 Timothy 4, "Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine." Underline that. Paul exhorted Timothy to preach doctrine. Why? Look at verse 3 of 2 Timothy 4. "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears." You see, Paul here is pointing out the importance of the Christian knowing doctrine after we get saved, after we're born again of the Spirit of God. That's the most important. But then we need to study the Bible, and we need to learn more about the doctrines that are in the Bible. Paul said to Titus in Titus 2 verse 1, "But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine." Paul said in Romans 6 verse 17, "But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you." And again, Paul emphasizes the importance of sound doctrine. You know, many Christians today say that as long as you're saved, then it doesn't really matter what you believe. But that's not true. Child of God, people who say that, not only are they showing their total ignorance to Bible knowledge, but they are permitting the devil to use them in a very sinister way, because the most important thing in the church is doctrine. And everyone who says that doctrine is not important is undermining the very foundation of the church. Singing is good, praise is good, but doctrine is vital. What is doctrine? Well, I think I've explained this before, but let me explain it again. Doctrine is what we believe. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That is a doctrine. Jesus died upon the cross to save us. That is a doctrine. Hell is a reality. That is a doctrine. Heaven is real. That is a doctrine. Jesus Christ is coming again someday. That is a doctrine. We speak about the reality of sin. That is a doctrine. We speak about the reality of Satan. That is a doctrine. Doctrine simply means teaching. The teaching of the Word of God. The child of God is so important that you and I know our doctrine. And I would say it to you, if you're a young Christian, not long saved, it's important for you now that you are saved to read the Bible and to find out what the Bible says. Find out what the doctrines of the Bible declare. Because this is what happened in the book of Acts. Just turn back. Again, we've covered the verse, but just turn back to Acts chapter 2 for a moment. And look with me at verse 42 there. This is the day of Pentecost. And on the day of Pentecost, Peter preached. And on the day of Pentecost, 3,000 souls were saved. Now just think about that for a moment. Just think of if we preached one sermon and 3,000 people got saved. My, what a day of revival that would be. And that's what happened on the day of Pentecost. But look what we read about these young converts after they were saved. Look what it says there in verse 42 of Acts 2. And they, that's the 3,000 that were saved. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Now, what is meant there by the apostles' doctrine? Well, what they preached and what they taught and what did the apostles teach and declare? The Word of God. The Word of God. And that's why it is so important to, when you're saved, get into a church that preaches the truth, that preaches the doctrines of this Word. The Word of God. If you're not saved tonight, the first step you need to take is to come to Christ. No matter how much or little knowledge you have, you know you're a sinner on your way to hell, you know that Jesus died for you, you know that if you're not saved, you're going to be lost, then you need to come to Christ by faith and trust Him as your Savior. That's what you need to do tonight. Say to me, preacher, there's so much I don't understand. These certain disciples didn't understand the doctrine of the Holy Ghost, but they still believed. And then the Apostle Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, guided them into the truth of the doctrine of the Holy Spirit. My friend, you get saved tonight. Start reading the Bible. Start reading the doctrines of the Bible, the teaching of the Bible. The Lord will bless you. You'll grow in grace. You'll grow in your Christian life. You'll grow in grace and in the knowledge of Christ. And the Lord will bless you. And I'll tell you this, it'll be the sweetest days of your conversion. We were noticing that this morning, looking back to when we were first saved, and some of us here have been saved for more years than we want to remember. Isn't that right? I've been saved over 40 years. I don't even look 40 years old. That's what my wife tells me every day. If you believe that, you believe anything. But listen, the sweetest days on earth are when you get saved and you have an interest in the things of God. Not that you lose the interest, but sometimes, as we found out this morning, you can get cold in your Christian life. But oh, that the Lord would save you tonight. What a day it would be. What an hour this would be if you came to trust Christ. My friend, you know what would happen? You wouldn't want to be out of this book morning, noon, or night, because you have so much to learn. So many treasures to find in the precious Word of God. Something else I want you to notice. Take a look there at verse 6. We learn, thirdly, the importance of being filled with the Holy Ghost for service. These disciples, these certain disciples, were filled with the Holy Ghost to serve the Lord. Look at verse 6. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on them. In order to serve the Lord effectively, child of God, you and I need the power of God. And God's power means being filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, the moment you're saved and ask the Lord to come into your heart and life, the Holy Spirit enters into you. That's the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And every Christian has the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. But not every Christian is filled with the Holy Spirit. And there were times in Peter's life, for example, on the day of Pentecost, when he was filled with the Holy Ghost. The Bible specifically says on the day of Pentecost, he was filled with the Holy Spirit. A few days later, it says that he was filled again with the Holy Spirit. But some 16 years later, Paul had to withstand him to the face because he was making a hypocrite out of himself, and that day he wasn't filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, he was still indwelt by the Holy Spirit because you can't be saved without being indwelt by the Spirit of God. And the moment you get saved, that moment you call upon the Lord to save you, the Holy Spirit enters into you and you're born from above. That's what it means to be born again. But we're dealing here tonight with being infilled with the Holy Spirit. As you know, there's a difference. There's a difference. Being filled with the Holy Spirit for service is something different. The preacher, as he preaches God's word, needs God's help to preach. The servant of Christ, as they seek to spread the message of the gospel, needs God's help to do so. Every Christian, as they seek to serve the Lord in whatever way, needs God's power to serve. And this help, this power, comes with the infilling of God, the Holy Spirit. And all of God's servants who say anything, if they're going to accomplish anything when they preach and talk and say and declare the truth, need to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And we can see this here from this passage of Scripture. But right throughout the book of Acts, we can see this. Turn back again to Acts 2. Do you see this? Look at verse 4. You read these words. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. Now, these were men who had been saved. And these were men who had the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in their lives. But for service, they needed the power of God, the Holy Spirit. Look at chapter 4, verse 8, just very quickly. Then Peter filled with the Holy Ghost. Look at verse 31 of chapter 4. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. See how the power of the Holy Spirit came upon them for the service that Christ had called them to do, to preach that word? Look at Acts 11, verse 24. It says, for he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. But I want you to turn to Ephesians 5, verse 18. That's the key verse. And Paul here is speaking to the Christians at Ephesus. And this is what he says to them. And it's a verse that, if you're saved any length of time, you'll know this verse very well. But look what it says in verse 18. But remember this. Paul's speaking to Christians. He's speaking to those that have been saved, speaking to those that have been born again of the Spirit of God, who have the indwelling of the Holy Spirit in their lives. But he says this, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. That phrase literally means to be continually filled with the Holy Spirit. Child of God, you and I need to be filled today with the Holy Spirit for service. But we need to be filled tomorrow with the Holy Spirit for service. The sign or the evidence that a Christian is filled with the Holy Ghost is power. Is power. You will have power to serve the Lord and to witness for Christ. That's what Jesus said before he ascended back up into heaven to his disciples in Acts 1 verse 8. He said this, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. So the evidence that a Christian is filled with the Holy Ghost is that they will have power in their witnessing for Christ. How does the Christian be filled with the Holy Ghost? Simply by asking the Lord day by day for a fresh infilling of His Holy Spirit. We ask in prayer. Luke 11, verse 13. Listen to these words. Jesus said, "If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him?" To them that ask Him. Now, I have covered this ground before, especially when we considered Acts chapter 2. And if you weren't here and didn't hear those messages, well, you can get them in the tape room. And I would encourage you to get the messages, especially in Acts chapter 2, that day when we preached about speaking in tongues. You see, some people tell us that the evidence that we're filled with the Holy Ghost is we speak in tongues. That's not the evidence that a man is filled with the Holy Ghost. The evidence that a Christian is filled with the Holy Ghost is that they will have power. I have never spoken tongues. And I believe the Lord has helped me many times to preach His word and to serve Him. John the Baptist was a man who was filled with the Holy Ghost and he never spoke in tongues. The Lord Jesus was a man who was filled with the Holy Ghost, never spoke in tongues. Get that tape and listen to it. It's important that we rightly divide the word of truth. But in closing, we come to the end of the message tonight. And I know I've thrown quite a bit out this evening. But I want to close by asking two questions. First of all, let me ask everyone here tonight, have you the indwelling of the Holy Spirit within you? In other words, have you experienced the new birth? Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. My friend, if you're not saved tonight, if you have never experienced the new birth, then the Holy Spirit does not dwell within you. And if the Holy Spirit does not dwell within you, then you're not born from above. You're not born from above. You're not born again. Doesn't matter how many times you come to church. Doesn't matter how many times you read your Bible. Doesn't matter how many times you say prayers. Jesus said, ye must be born again. And your need tonight, sinner, is to come and put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And here's the second question to the child of God. As we live for Christ, do we know day by day the infilling of the Holy Spirit? Oh, I pray that in these days, and I speak to my own heart as well, that we might get down before God and pray that God will come and infill us with His gracious Holy Spirit, the third person of the Holy Trinity. We need Him. We need Him in the church. We need Him in our lives. We need Him in our families, day by day. We need Him in the workplace. We need Him wherever we work, wherever we seek to witness for Him, because our witness will be ineffective if we don't know the power of God, the Holy Spirit. Oh, I pray tonight that God will speak to all of our hearts. My friend, if you're not saved, come to the Savior. Let us all pray.